Welcome to the message segment of Element of Carry Center International. Listen and be blessed.
Last week we listened to the spoken words. And there is a line in the spoken words that got my attention and ministered greatly to my spirit. And that word that I heard is that resurrection is not just a story, but is our story and we should live it. Hallelujah. Now, resurrection is not just about life after death. It's about life that still carries evidence of what it survived. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The scripture makes me to understand that Jesus is the word that became flesh. And then he dwelt among us and we beheld his glory. Hallelujah. Now, which means that Jesus came fully as man and came fully as divinity. Glory to God. And so he felt everything that man feels. So it's not news that the resurrection brought to us victory. It brought to us hope. Hope from suffering. Hope from excruciating pain. Hope from torture. That we might have life and live it in abundance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, all of this suffering that Jesus went through, they were all wrapped up. Wrapped up in a visible mark for man to see. Glory to God. I'll be ministering on what I entitled, The Scars of Resurrection. The Scars of Resurrection. And I know that in one way or the other, many of us have felt pain, physically, spiritually, mentally. We have felt pain and we have visible marks that reminds us. Praise the Lord. Please, I'd like us to turn to the book of John, John chapter 20, and we'll read from verse 20. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Jesus speaking, when he entered into the room, the first thing he said was, "Peace be unto you." And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. 21, please. Then said Jesus to them again. Please, can I have New King James? Thank you. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." 22. And when he had said this, he breathed upon them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now I want you to picture a room. The scripture says that the disciples were in a room. They were shut up in fear. So I want you to picture it in your mind. A room that is filled with fear. The door shut behind you and you're there not knowing what is happening around. Hallelujah. Their hearts were broken. Their hopes were shattered because the one who was leading them had been killed, supposedly killed. Hallelujah. Then suddenly he appears. He did not appear as a ghost. He appeared fully in his form, standing and breathing. I don't know if you can picture that. I don't know if you can picture that. And then the first thing that Jesus showed to them were his hands and were his sides. Praise the Lord. I am sure if he wasn't wearing a dress or a robe, he would have shown them his back. Praise Master Jesus. Glory to God. Now, Jesus did not show them his glory. He didn't show them his power, but he showed them his scars. It was his scars that he showed to them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now the question that I want to ask us today is, Jesus rose as a king, but why did he come with his car? He rose as a king. He is divinity, but why did he rise up with scars? Why? Praise the Lord. I'd like to have an understanding this morning from this scripture, just as you will have an understanding that everyone in this room, I want to believe, you all have scars. And the scars tell a story. The scars are a reminder that something happened at a particular time. Praise the Lord. Now, some of the scars that you have remind you of shame. Some of the scars that you have remind you of sickness. Some remind you of pride. Let me explain. You know, when you're married and you wear your ring in a very long time, you don't take it off. There's a scar that lives on your hand. That's a scar that shows that you're full of pride because you got married. Praise the Lord. There are some scars that come on you. They are very painful. Sometimes through accidents, sometimes through sickness. Praise the Lord. So each and every one of us in this room, each and every one of us have scars to remind us of something. We're going somewhere. Praise the Lord. Now, when Jesus arose, he did so with scars on every part of his body that was wounded. The resurrection didn't take away the scars. The resurrection didn't take the scars away. It was deliberate. It was intentional. If he lived as man in the midst of the disciples and in the midst of other men, there must be something to show that he's still the one who rose, who died and rose from the dead. Praise the Lord. Let me give us an illustration of something that I read. I read a story about a man who went into a burning house. Unknowingly to him, his daughter was inside the house. The firemen tried to stop him because the fire had gutted the house so badly that anyone who dared to enter has just signed his death warrant. But this man defiled all and jumped into the fire to rescue his daughter, which he eventually did. But he came out with so much burns. And at the end of the day, he was scarred all over. Praise the Lord. Now, what did this man do? That wound that he received became a scar after he got healed. And after that, that scar was a reminder to him of love, of rescue. That's what Jesus did for you and I. Praise the Lord. He died that we might have life in abundance. Glory to God. Now, the scars of Christ become scars of hope as we deal with our own wounds in life. Now, for some of us, I don't know what scars is. They are marks. Scars are marks left on the skin after a wound has been healed. They are evidence or evidences that you had an injury, and is also a proof of healing that took place. Praise the Lord. Now, as a child of God or as a believer, the scars are lasting imprints of battles that you have gone through. Whether through pain, through betrayal, through rejection, through sickness, through mockery, you survived it all. And that's a scar that has been left on your body. So a scar is not just an open wound, but a healed place that still has a story. Praise the Lord. Apostle Paul says something in Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. He says, "Let no man trouble me anymore, for I bear on my body the mark of Jesus Christ." He wasn't talking about the pierced nail, the pierced hand through the nails or his feet. He was talking about the wounds that he received through persecution, through stoning, through beating, while he was carrying out his ministry. Because he was a representative, an ambassador of Jesus. Glory to God. We saw a visible wound or a scar on the body of Jacob when he had the encounter in Genesis chapter 32. There was a scar that was on him that he remembered that it was when I wrestled with the Lord that I got a dislocated hip. That was a spiritual wound, but manifested as a physical one. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, like I said, the scars on him has become the scars of our hope. For every wound that we go through, praise the Lord. It doesn't matter whether it's spiritual or physical. Every wound Jesus had taken care of. Praise the Lord. And so, we want to look at the manifestation of the scars of resurrection, how we manifest through us as believers. Praise the Lord. I would like us to continue with our text, John chapter 20. We'll start from verse 23. I will read it through to 29. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. This was Jesus commissioning the disciples. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them, and Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you. I pray that the peace of the Lord will rest upon you henceforth in the name of Jesus." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." 28, I said to 29, 28. And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Praise the Lord. From our scripture, you will tell that scars restores faith. Scars restores faith. When Thomas doubted, he said he needed to see and to touch the wounds because he was not available when Jesus came. Now, it shows that he didn't even have faith because Jesus had ministered to them while he was on earth that "I will die and rise after 3 days." So he never believed that message of resurrection. He says, "Not until I see and I touch, then I will believe." Praise the Lord. You know, there are some of us that need to have an encounter before we believe that God is real. He was one of such that needed an encounter. He wanted to touch, he wanted to feel. Praise the Lord. He never believed, he wanted an evidence that it was truly Jesus that rose from the dead. Praise Master Jesus. He needed to see. Hallelujah. May we not be like Thomas, who waits for evidence before believing in Jesus. With God, it is believing, and then evidence will follow. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus didn't reject him when he came back. Instead, he went straight to Thomas. He drew him close. What was Jesus trying to do? Jesus was trying to build his faith. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you doubt, it disqualifies you for a blessing, but it prepares you for a process. Praise the Lord. When you doubt, the instant blessing that should come to you, you delay it and prepare for the process to being blessed. Praise the Lord. That was what happened to Thomas. That was what happened. He wanted an evidence. The scars were a restoration of faith to Thomas. And that was why when he saw it and touched, when he saw the scars on Jesus, he moved. He moved from doubt to declaration. And he shouted, "My Lord and my God." My Lord, just as some of you would doubt that there is a God, not until you see a physical miracle, that is when you will tell yourself, truly, there is a God. He moved from doubting to declaring the supremacy of our Lord Jesus Christ. My Lord and my God. Listen, sometimes when you come here to share your testimonies, those testimonies are not because of you, but for some persons who are needing to hear, it becomes a salvational story. It becomes a salvational message to another listening to you. So sometimes when you are crying, "Father, take away this pain and this pain, this trouble, this challenge, the trials are not leaving," God is using it to build a message and a ministry for you. Because at the end of the day, you are the one that will begin to show, "When I was like this, this was what God, this is how God did it for me." You begin to preach it without you knowing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So sometimes the pain that you endure, the battles that you fought quietly, the seasons that you made it through, God is using it to restore another person's faith. Because he will come back to tell it as a story. It leaves a scar on you. Some visible. Our brother said, "You will not understand what I'm talking about." There's a scar that is on him. Praise the Lord. Scars are a proof of victory. The first thing that Jesus did was to show them his scars. Was to show them that he was the same man who died, buried, and resurrected. It was a sign of his victory that he conquered the grave, conquered death. Praise the Lord. A songwriter said, "Many battles, many struggles, but God has been there for me, fighting for me, winning for me. He has never lost a fight. The number of my scars are the number of my victories." He says, "The number of my scars are the number of my victories." So scars are proof of victory. You were not defeated. That's why you got wounded, healed, and then you recovered. Praise the Lord. Jesus' mark. His scar was a mark that believers should look to themselves as victors, not victims. Stop looking at yourself as victims. Because Jesus already won the battle. He nailed them to the cross. Those scars on Jesus did not come as signs of weakness. They were the cost of the victory on the cross. A sign that he paid the price for that victory. Was a price of love. It was a price of salvation. a prize for redemption. Because he conquered the grave and death. Hallelujah. You know, the enemies thought that it was all over for Jesus when he breathed his last breath and he died. They thought it was the end for him. But it was actually a testimony for you and I. Praise the Lord. The scars on you show that the battle did not consume you. What tried to kill you? What tried to destroy you? You conquered because it was released on the cross. Mercy was released. Grace was released. And mercy denied the enemy's access to you. Praise the Lord. And so those nails on his hands, on his feet, they are on you without you knowing. If you're a true believer, you realize that every pain, every shame that he took away, nailed it to the cross. Physically, you become an access point. You become as a bridge. Because I can confidently come to you and tell you, some years ago, you've often heard me tell you that I would have been long dead. I had scars to show for that. Being on shots day and night, taking medicines, taking injections that the enemy says it was for the rest of her life. Mercy denies that access to them, overruled that report, and here am I standing without those shots. Here am I standing, hale and hearty. Here am I standing with a strength that I never used to have. Here am I standing. So I carry those points, those marks. I carry them just as you carry them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The scars on you are a reminder that you are more than a conqueror. Praise the Lord. Now the scars, they speak of purpose. They speak of purpose. Now, the very reason that Jesus carried the scars of resurrection was so that what he did for us, we will not forget. We will never question them. So we don't lose his power. We have seen that Jesus used the scars as proof to his disciples. Faith for Thomas and those in the doubting club. The scars became a testimony, a message, and a ministry. I'd like us to read Judges chapter 11. The Lord will heal some of you of the wounds that are already healed, but you refuse to allow that wound heal. Hallelujah. Judges chapter 11, let's read from verses 1 to 11. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, but he was the son of a harlot, and Gilead begot Jephthah. Gilead's wife bore sons, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, "You shall have no inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman." Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob. And worthless men banded together with Jephthah and went out raiding with him. It came to pass after a time that the people of Ammon made war against Israel. And so it was when the people of Ammon made war against Israel, that the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob. Then they said to Jephthah, "Come and be our commander." the one who was rejected, that we may fight against the people of Ammon. So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, did you not hate me and expel me from my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, that is why we have turned again to you now, that you may go with us and fight against the people of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, if you take me back home to fight against the people of Ammon and the Lord delivers them to me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, the Lord will be a witness between us if we do not do according to your words. Verse 11 and the last, then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and commander over them. And Jephthah spoke all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Hallelujah. Now Jephthah was a man who carried an emotional scar. He was wounded by the ones who were his own. He had the wound of betrayal, of rejection, of mockery. Praise the Lord. And that was why when he got healed, before he got healed, he found himself in a place where he would ordinarily not be. He became like an outcast, living with men without future. To him, I am sure that Jephthah was thinking, my life is out. Because they have chased me out, it means my future had ended. Praise the Lord. He was worthless. According to the scripture, he was found in the midst and he was heading the outcasts. Praise the Lord. So there was this scar on him, and that was why he reminded the elders, why have you come to me that you chased out? What is it that you want from me now? He never knew that God was preparing in his pain a purpose to head, to lead, to be a judge in Israel. Who would have thought that the son of a harlot will end up becoming a judge? Those scars that he carried, the wounds produced a purpose in his pain. So I don't know the kind of wound that is on you that you have refused to let go. This morning, I want to tell you and encourage you that God is preparing, taking you, leading you to your purpose in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You've often heard me talk about the challenge, or you've heard us talk about the challenge that we've gone through. When we were going through it, it was very painful. It was very painful. But we did not know that God was preparing us for such a time as now. Because it was through then I prayed like Daniel. The visions that I was blessed with, that I never took as very important gifts, I began to look seriously into every detail that the Lord was revealing to me. I began to write them down. And sometimes I fall back. Oh, this has happened. This has happened. It was actually leading us to our purpose. Praise the Lord. I didn't know. But then it was very painful. I asked questions. Lord, we have served you. Why are we going through all of this pain? Why are we going through this mockery? When I tell people that I begged for a cup of rice in this town, nobody was there to help me. And then I will remember, this is me that used to open bags of rice and share. I'm looking for just a cup, just for my children to eat. And nobody is there to help. I want to buy diaper for my child. I will walk the whole of worry. It was a wound. But today, I see the scar produce a purpose. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen, our restoration It did not erase that chapter of our lives. That's why we still talk about it. It's the same thing. The scar did not erase when Jesus resurrected. So even when you have been restored, there's something that would always remind you of the battle that God brought you out from. Hallelujah. Now, resurrection, I wrote down here, resurrection didn't erase history, but it wrote down a new meaning for history. It didn't deny the past, but it redefined it. Jesus came back as if nothing happened. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So what was meant to break you becomes what God will use to build you. What was meant to break us then is what God used to produce or to create or to build element of Charis. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have tailors in the house. Let's assume when you want to sew fabrics, you pass it through the machine and then pins are punching, right? Pins are punching. What is it doing? It is stitching together the beauty of the fabric. I don't know if you got something there. They don't understand. Hallelujah. Now, every beautiful cloth that you make, if you're a tailor, or you that patronize tailors, every beautiful cloth or fabric that you take that becomes a beautiful dress, like what I'm wearing today, pass through pain. If the fabric were to be human, it will shout, "You want to kill me?" But at the end of the day, it was pierced to produce something beautiful. Jesus was pierced to produce something beautiful, salvation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That was exactly what happened to Jesus. He was beaten. He was wounded. Everything happened. All the pins, all the nails were going through him. Why? Because he needed to produce something beautiful, salvation, which you and I are enjoying today. Praise the Lord. There might be some things in your life that are not making sense. They feel painful. They look like they're going to destroy you. But I tell you that God is stitching the purpose together for you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The scars, they speak of new identities. New identity. We saw the account of Jephthah. How his purpose bettered a new identity for him. The one who was once rejected, the one who was once mocked, became the judge. A new identity was brought forth out of the wound, then the scar. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of you still carry the wounds of failure, the wounds of betrayal, the wounds of unforgiveness, the wounds of barrenness. Even after the wounds have been healed, even after it has left a scar, a mark on you, we still see it daily as a fresh wound. I'll explain. A few weeks after our wedding, I wanted to cook. And I remember that I was gifted a 22-liter pressure pot. Pressure pot I had been using before I got married. And so I put the meat on the fire. And it began to boil. Whistled normally. And then it was ready. The time was ready. I brought it down, put it under the running tap, which is a normal procedure to allow the brain to cool down. I released the pressure nozzle and then I allowed it. Then I had a knock. Pastor Sir came. Now, new couple now. The wife still a shakam. Let me go and see my wife. Hey, he smiled. At the end of the day, we both got wounded by that pressure pot. When I tried to open it, it was totally sealed. I said, okay, still very hot. I don't even know how. All I heard was boom. The whole thing poured on me, poured on Pastor. My face immediately from my jaw down became obobo. Then I was wearing a trouser. I tried to take off the trouser. The design of the trouser I wore was on my lap. Till tomorrow, till eternity, is on my lap. I could have said I will not use this pressure pot again because it tried to kill me. When I got healed from the wound, I came back to it. As a matter of fact, my mom said, don't ever use that pot. I said, no problem. I went back to that pot. I looked at the pot. I said, I will not repair you. I will keep using you like this. I have been using you before now. And I used that pot for more than 20 years. I became a pro using that pot. I could have said, I will never touch this pot again. But I lived out of that fear, of that wound. I did not keep peeling it to become fresh to me. I didn't allow the wound to define me. I conquered that wound, conquered the fear, and I continued using it. Praise the Lord. Listen. Hallelujah. The scar that he left on me is a scar that it is where. What am I saying? Whatever wound that you have been healed from, please stop peeling and making it fresh. You survived it, which means you conquered it, and which means it is subject to you. It is subject to you. It's not supposed to be what will define what will then happen to you. You have gone through it because it was meant to be an experience that will take you to your next level. It is for you to grow, for you to become, like I said, a pro over that situation. And it makes you become a counselor when you begin to counsel people over it, because I began to teach people how to use that pot. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So when Jesus rose, the grave no longer had power to hold him down. That's what it means for you not to continue to dwell on a wound that has been healed. Many of us carry unforgiveness. That unforgiveness is a wound you keep healing over and over and over. Grow and let it be behind you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible reminds us in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. It says that Jesus appeared 11 times over a period of 40 days before he finally ascended. Praise the Lord. So if you go back to our text, the disciples had a new identity, because when he came, introduced himself by the scars, he commissioned them. The fear that was on them, Minister Mercy will say, pew, it disappeared, it ran. He breathed the Holy Ghost on them for them to be able to witness. And when they, hallelujah, praise the Lord, he commissioned them. And today the Holy Spirit is here to commission some of you today. For as many of you that open your heart to receiving from him, He will commission you into your purpose. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can I ask us, what scar are you carrying? What scar are you carrying? What is that scar you look at and it reminds you of the wound? It reminds you of the pain. It reminds you of the guilt. It reminds you of the sickness. Jesus carried those scars for you to reign as victor. He carried those scars for you to be reminded that you are not defeated, that you're only going through a process. He carried those scars to let you know that there is light if only you can hold on. There is light shining through. Is he of barrenness? There is light. Your womb is not dead. Your tubes are not blocked. They are not blocked at all. Because the life giver, he took away the barrenness and nailed it to the cross. He's a life giver that gave life to the dry bones. Bones that have been long dead, shattered. No one wanted to look at it. The life giver is there to position you for that job. You might have been out of job for God knows how long. He says, don't give up. Stop looking behind, because there's something greater that I have done for you. It's only a matter of time. If only you will not just wait for the evidence before you believe. If only you will believe, and then the evidence will come through to you. Is it the betrayer? They will still come to you. The rejection, the mockery, they will still come to you. Just as they came looking for Jephthah, the one who was written off, the one who was labeled as an outcast, they will still come looking for you, because there is a solution, a seed of solution that God has dropped inside of you, that someone is seeking for, waiting to hear your story. Hallelujah. Somebody is saying, but I have been serving God. The pain will not go away. Yes, if the scar represents all of this, why am I still going through pain? It's a process. Silver, gold. He said, I did not buy you with all of those things. I didn't buy you with all of those things, because they can die, they can fade away. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, I did not buy you with corruptible things like silver and gold. But what I did was with the precious blood. So you have value. A price tag is on you. Stop looking at yourself as being worthless. There is a price tag on your life. A price tag that carries value that no monetary value can equate. Not be me that they find. Who did they find? Who did they find? There is a price tag on you. That's what the scar of resurrection put on you. There is a price tag. You are not worthless. You are not useless. You are not written off. Man only wrote you off. But God has not written you off, because there's still so much that God wants to use you to accomplish. So much. Also, you needed the choir to remind you that you're impacting people. You needed to allow man to tell you, oh, you're doing well. Where is the trophy? Let me tell you, those scars of resurrection, they are trophies that we carry every day without us knowing, because we are winners. Hallelujah. You are still waiting for man to beg you, follow this Christ, follow Jesus. You are still waiting to be like Thomas. Listen, if you fall under that anointing again, if you fall under it again, do you know what will happen to you? You don't know what will happen to you. Okay. Hallelujah. You follow that the anointing without doing. Eh? You lock yourself up. And when you fall into the hands of God, you will chase demons that there are no demons. Because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. He's called you severally. He has shown you all the evidences, all the mark. You and your twin, Thomas, the twin. Hallelujah. I'm sending a message across to you. Where is your brother? He's outside. Where is your twin? Hallelujah. It says, blessed are those who have not seen, but they believe. You have seen. You have heard. He has shown you every dimension. You're going through a process, but that process is a painful one. Yes, painful. Yes. But whether you have seen Jesus with his car, you have. Thomas, called the twin. You and your twin. Come and hold your twin. Thomas, the twin. You have seen the evidence. You have seen his power. He has spoken. He has shown you in different dimensions. He has sent people to you. But you choose to want to have the evidence before you believe. I pray that you don't fall into the hands of God. You know that I fell into the hands of God. You know all that I lost. You know I was chasing demons about, but I was actually the demon. May you not fall into the hands of God and think that foundation is keeping you down. I pray that the grace of God will be sufficient for you to rise up, understanding the scar that is on you, for you to walk into your purpose. That's why I say, if you fall under that anointing again, without doing, hallelujah. May God help you both. May God help you both. In Jesus' name. Please, let's rise to our feet. The scars of Jesus are eternal evidence of love, of rescue, of victory, of salvation, of redemption. Hallelujah. Say, Heavenly Father, open my eyes to understand the power behind the scars of resurrection. Turn that to your prayer. You need revelation to understand it. You need insight to have an understanding of the scars upon Jesus. Man cannot slow you down. Man cannot put you down. Jesus is the one who qualifies. He qualifies the unqualified. Ask for an insight. Ask for the revelation and knowledge of the Lord. The scripture says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet they have believed. Happy are those who have not seen. Fortunate are those who have not seen but they believe. Ask the Lord to increase your faith. Ask the Lord to increase your faith, to help you believe for the things that are not seen. They are eternal, but the things that we see are temporal. Ask the Lord to increase your faith. To take away every doubting spirit from your life. All things are possible with Him. And so what you think cannot be reversed will be reversed when you believe. He says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He says that the chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. And by His stripes, by the bruise, by the scars, we have been healed. Begin to ask the Lord to heal you of every hidden wound. Be it emotional, be it mentally, be it psychological, be it spiritual. Ask the Lord to heal you. Ask the Lord to heal you. Our sister said she knew she ate something in a dream, and that something stuck into her neck, her throat. That was a spiritual wound. I remember when we were running the warehouse, one of my girls came and said, "Ma, a snake bit me in the dream." And when she opened her leg, there was a clot on her thigh, blood gathered. I said, "Where did you get this wound from?" She said, "I just knew that a snake bit me, and I woke up and I saw a round wound on my leg." And we prayed. And we prayed, and the Lord healed her from that wound. Praise the Lord. So as many of you that are going through any kind of spiritual wound, I pray that the healing rays of the Lord will come upon you. In the name of Jesus, I pray the healing rays of the Lord will run from the crown of your head through to the sole of your feet. Every evil arrow that has been stuck in your body, I pray by the same power that raised up Jesus from the grave, will reverse the arrows back to sender. In the name of Jesus. Say, every hidden wound in me, receive healing now. Receive healing now. Receive healing. That wound in your heart, receive healing. Receive healing. Receive healing. Receive healing. We've all been wounded in one way or the other. Ask the Lord to heal you, because the scar that He carried brought forth the healing, brought forth the deliverance, brought forth the restoration. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we'll pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And I decree and I declare that may you walk with the mindset of a victor in the name of Jesus. Even when the circumstances or situation says otherwise, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus, may the scars of Jesus speak healing over your life. In the name of Jesus, may every wound in your life be turned into a testimony. In the matchless name of our Lord Jesus, I pray that whatever that have tried to destroy you will not succeed in the name of Jesus. And I pray for you that grace will erase every shame, every mockery, and every loss that you have encountered in the name of Jesus. I pray that you'll be accounted amongst those that are called blessed in the name of Jesus. And I pray for you that your faith will produce undeniable results for you this week and beyond in the name of Jesus. Father Lord, I say thank you. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. And amen. Shall we give a clap offering to the Lord?
The message you've just listened to was brought to you by Elements of Carry Center International, number 6, Otokutu OPT Road, after Plantation City Estate Fence, OPT. You can worship with us every Sunday, 8 a.m. for our celebration of grace service. Wednesdays are for Bible study, 5 p.m. Fridays for prayer and counseling, 9 a.m. Elements of Carry Center International, a place of comfort.